ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 42 एंड 43, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड बेग्स चैरिटी फ्रॉम बलि महाराज। प्लीज रिसाइड। अथ एतत्पूर्णम अभ्यात्मम् यच्च नेति अनृतं वच सर्वं नेति अनृतं ब्रूयात् स दुष्कीर्तिः श्वसन्मृत। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others toward oneself. And it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned. For he is a dead body while living, or while breathing, he should be killed. Purport. Beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing. And this may be very good for them because in this way they are assured of not losing their money, of always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned. If one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be a dead while breathing. Or according to other interpretations, such a man of falsity should be killed while still breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. Atha eta purnam abhyatmam yan neti sayat sarvam neti bruyat papik saya kirti jayate sainam tatrae vahanyat. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainam tatrae vahanyat. That is text 42. Also, we are doing text 43 because that is the last verse and doesn't have any purport. I'll read that. Strishu narma vivahe cha vritti arthe prana sankate go brahmanarthe himsayam nanritam sya jagupsitam. Translation. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahmanical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vamandev Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. So begging for the blessings of all the assembled devotees, we like to say some few words. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others towards oneself. And it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned. For he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. So purport is talking about beggars. When I was reading the purport, I was thinking, therefore, the safe course is to say no to the class. Just go and tell Balde Prabhu that, sorry, not my cup of tea. Not something difficult, but not difficult to say. I was thinking, what should I say? I remember this mentions about beggars. And also it talks about there's no, in the next verse, you know, earning one's livelihood. When one's life is in danger, this falsity is never condemned. I remember one time going to a shop do some shopping, some market, something to buy. And generally, it's a very difficult thing, you know. It's a difficult and it's a fun also. Sometimes you go in a saffron dress to buy something. Different kind of behaviors you expect. You may be thinking that, okay, here I am a sadhu, you know. At least I'm in dress. You may not say yourself sadhu, but at least in India, you know, okay, sadhu's dress is there. So as soon as you say, first thing you say, temple ke liye hai, mandir ke liye hai, please give it, you know, half the price. Tendency is there often to say like that. Bhagwan ki seva mein use karenge. So tendency is there. And sometimes I have seen devotees, they practically get it for free. Sometimes something costing 5,000 rupees, they get it for, you know, almost nothing. Some devotees are really expert, you know, to do that. And it's good for his benefit if he does serve something going for buy for the deities or some devotee kitchen. So you buy something and it's a fun, you know, that bargaining sometimes. So there, and sometimes, you know, you go for bargaining. And here you are, you know, in the modern sadhu dress, carrying a mobile, just getting out of your car and going, mandir ke liye thoda bargaining kar do. Bola, Maharaj, hamare paas to gaadi bhi nahi hai, hum to cycle pe aate hain roj. और आप तो गाड़ी में बैठ के आए, मोबाइल हाथ में है आपके, एंड यू आर सेइंग बार्गेनिंग कर दो. आई वेंट वन टाइम टू वन शॉप एंड टू बाय समथिंग, टू गेट समथिंग रिपेयर्ड, यू नो. एंड हियर द आफ्टर आई वाज जस्ट इंक्वायरिंग थ्री फोर शॉप्स, एंड वन शॉप आई आस्क समथिंग विच आई न्यू इट विल कॉस्ट 20 rupees, एंड ही इज टेलिंग 150 rupees. आई गॉट रियली एजिटेटेड, यू नो. आई सेड, व्हाट नॉनसेंस, यू आर डायरेक्टली लाइक मेकिंग अ फूल, यू नो, एज इफ आई डोंट नो एनीथिंग हियर. Not even that I am a Western country, Indian person, born and brought up here. So if you are misled by my appearance that, okay, you know, ISKCON devotee might be a Western fellow. So sometimes they cheat like that. So then I said, okay, let us, you know. So I was trying to tell him that 120. He said, even if it is 20, I am telling right on your face, I will cost you 120. Specifically because you are a sadhu. He said, I think that people staying in temple are more nicely situated than myself on the street. So he's telling me like that. So therefore this point is there. Beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing. And this may be very good for them. Because in this way they are assured not losing their money and always drawing the attention. But this is also condemned. So the point is, this understanding of what is right, what is wrong. What is called begging, what is called exploitation. And what is called bona fide charity. It's a very difficult concept. So, it's a difficult concept for outsiders to analyze. And sometimes difficult for devotees also to analyze. Right? Like few days back I was discussing with some devotees in the class. That Gita, this verse comes. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayo api atra mohita. Kim karma, what is karma? What is akarma? Kavayo, even the most intelligent people are bewildered. Kavayo api atar mohita. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that if you are thinking you are very intelligent, and let me tell you, kavayo api atar mohita. Tatte karma pravakshyami yaj gyatva mokshese ashubhat. So I'll just mention a few thoughts which come from this. It says, kim karma kim akarmeti. Very difficult. So it's saying, this verse is saying, the safe course is to say no, although it is a falsehood. Calculation is going. What is it? Falsehood, but should we use it or not? It protects one completely. It draws the compassion towards oneself and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. That is one calculation. But then he says, nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned. For he is a dead body while living, and while still breathing, he should be killed. So to take this side or that side, falsehood or to be true. Prabhupada also writes, if one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be a dead while breathing. Or according to other interpretation, such a man of falsity should be killed while still breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainam tatraiva hanyat. So this principle of kavayo api atra mohita, very difficult to understand what is karma or binding, what is akarma, what is liberating. Tatte karma pravakshyami. Therefore, Arjuna, here I am telling you, pravakshyami. How does the last line goes? The same one? Same thing, right? Yajgyatva mokshasya ashubhat. By knowing which? you'll be relieved of moksha se ashubhad, all inauspiciousness. So this concept is there, that of taking proper guidance. Here Shukracharya is giving guidance to Bali Maharaj. What is falsehood and what is the right dharma? And he himself is bewildered at this point of time, and he is calculating in a very extremely unintelligent person. He says safe course is to say no. So this point, what is the safe course, is always difficult to analyze. Because for a conditioned soul, it is natural to land up in the tendency to be the enjoyer, tendency to be the center, tendency, as it is said, drawing compassion and attention from others, trying to be the enjoyer. So always the calculation is going like that. I was reading the first canto in which Vidura is condemning Dhritarashtra. He is condemning Dhritarashtra that he says, just look at your condition. Andha puraiva vadiro. He says, you are hard of hearing. You can hardly hear anything. You cannot see properly. You are blind from birth. He says, your memory is shortened. And saharaga kapham udvaham, all kind of ragas are coming out. You are speaking, you are coughing, mucus, all this sound. And here you have been so enamored or overwhelmed. So ragas are misbalanced here. So all kind of, he says, you are claiming to be the king here, and he uses the word king. Raja nirgamayatam shigram. Get out of this place shigram, as soon as you claim to be a rajan, you think you are the king. First of all, you are not the king. You are enjoying on the remnants of Bhima Vaparjitam Pandam. Something thrown, remnants thrown by Bhima. But your desire to enjoy is so strong, in spite of everything so self-evident, you are not ready to give up that throne. Prabhupada comments very nicely that who is the king? He says, everybody is thinking he is the king, without forgetting that it is the eternal time who is the eternal ruler. Time is the eternal ruler. He says, insurmountable time overcomes everyone imperceptibly. This time, power of time, says, yena chaivabhi pannoyam prane priyatamairapi yena chaivabhi. He says, this power of time is so powerful that it snatches away everything, it pulls away everything. Apipannoyam prana priyatamairapi. Even the most dear thing, prana, or the life, is also taken away. Jana sadyo vyujyate kim uttaner dhanadibhi. What to talk of dhana, what to talk of opulence, what to talk of family relations. Everything is taken away by this power of time. Yena chaivabhipannoyam. Only a blind person is so absorbed in this calculation of material world, of what is good and what is bad, and does not focus on the supreme power of time. Insurmountable time just takes away everything. So Dhritarashtra, you have gone absolutely blind. You cannot see that. You are so much overwhelmed. All your 100 sons are killed. And the people who killed your son, the people whom you tried to kill, you are living at the cost of such people. You should be ashamed of that. He really uses very heavy verses there. So Dhritarashtra is so overwhelmed, cannot understand what is his position. So pitiable, so miserable, feeling sympathy, Vidura is speaking those harsh words. Now the nice thing is, in the same chapter, a few verses back, it comes that Vidura never hurts anyone. He doesn't speak harsh words to hurt anyone. When it comes to revealing the truth to Maharaj Yudhishthira and everyone, that Krishna has left from Dwarka, Yadus have left, he does not reveal. Not that Vidura is a person who loves to speak harsh words, but Vidura is speaking to Dhritarashtra such hard words out of great compassion, to show him what is the right goal of life. So it says, this one line here, always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. So this mentality is highly condemned. Without being, knowledgeable or thoughtful of what the eternal truth is all about. So Dhritarashtra was absolutely insulted in front of everyone. And immediately he gives up everything and walks out with Vidura. So this mentality is highly condemned here, to draw the attention and compassion for others for the sake of collection. He is telling Bali Maharaj to do that. But this is also condemned. But if one purposely continues his professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing. Or according to another interpretation, such a man is supposed to be killed. I was reading another place in second canto, one nice description that this concept of charity. It is described beautifully that on this path of using this valuable human life, one should be very careful of not losing the ultimate goal. It is described here that as Shukracharya is so much overwhelmed by his personal desire, by his personal motives, this bhakti, how one has to perform this devotional service with great sincerity, with great understanding. One of the meaning of the word, so one of the attitudes which Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar of Instruction, it says, Utsaha Nishchaya Dhairyat. Yesterday we were discussing in our BT class, Utsaha Nishchaya Dhairyat. This is the attitude while practicing bhakti. And in terms of Utsaha, it is mentioned this enthusiasm is endeavoring with intelligence. So at every moment, endeavoring with intelligence. One has to very carefully use his intelligence. As Prabhupada mentions here, devotional service is not some sentimental speculation or imaginative ecstasy. So Bali Maharaj also, he was not based on the process of sentimental speculation. Shukracharya is giving some command, he doesn't accept it immediately. This is very interesting, intelligent person. That's why it said, Kavayo api atra mohita. Somebody who is very intelligent, he gets bewildered. So how much cautious one has to be while thinking what is the right opinion in my devotional life. So Bali Maharaj was very cautious. Shukracharya is passing, but he very nicely analyzes. So he says, endeavoring with intelligence. Very much with intelligence, with strengthened intelligence, with sharpened intelligence. Like we sharpen, an instrument. So for a battlefield, you sharpen the weapon. For a writing or making a painting, you sharpen the pencil. For something nice to come out. Intelligence has to be highly sharpened. Such kind of arguments completely overwhelm a conditioned soul. And it's a very, very precarious condition. Very, very precarious condition. Krishna, to understand Krishna is not an easy job. It's highly, highly inconceivable. Suta Goswami speaks a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam. He says, you are asking me to describe what Krishna, who is unlimited, who is so much beyond the reach of a small, infinitesimal living entity. He said, my position is like birds trying to reach the limits of sky. So therefore, when every moment such kind of arguments are offered in the consciousness of a conditioned soul, who is so much caught up in the nets of three modes, in the goodness, passion, ignorance, at every moment, it's a continuous struggle or continuous fight to make sure you are fixed on the right goal. Make sure that you are not falling into the trap of getting your bhakti mixed with karma, with jnana, with yoga, with mystic powers, with speculation. Understanding very clearly, like Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, one of the points of confidence. He says, confidence, he says, utsaha nishchaya dhairyat. This nishchaya. Or a part of confidence is that bhakti is the only way. We reject karma, jnana and yoga. We very much clearly understand what this process is all about, what bhakti is all about. So bhakti is very, very simple and very sweet. But the point is, conditioned soul who is so overwhelmed by desire to enjoy under so many modes, forgets that goal. So here Shukracharya himself, who claims to be a spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, has forgotten. This is Kavyo. Even the intelligent person who is supposed to give guidance, he forget. The person who speaks all the lectures, he forget. Amazing. the whole mat. That's why this is amazing. It's such a bewildering and amazing thing that how Krishna has created this material energy. The person who is speaking the philosophy most, he falls into the trap. Sometimes we wonder, you know, sometimes experience, you know, I have this service of teaching Gita sometimes in Bhakti Shastri. Speaking Gita day after day, week after week, same subject, same verses, month after month, batch after batch, maybe 5, 6, 7 times. And it's so funny that after speaking 7, 8 times, then again you fall into the trap where Arjuna is in the first chapter. It's amazing how the material energy is so strong. And I think that the last moment this keeps on going on, you keep falling in the trap of Arjuna. That where Arjuna, like Arjuna also, you know, the whole Gita is again falling in the trap of same consciousness. Krishna convinces himself, okay, but still this. Okay, but still come back. Came back to the frame, first square, you know. So the point is here, very difficult to actually understand. So yeah, so utsaha, endeavoring with intelligence. And one of the part is intelligence. What is the intelligence? One understands that there is no value to any other process. One very much fixes of what devotional service is all about. Why Krishna is telling in Gita, Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. This is the most confidential knowledge. This is the king of knowledge. Pratyaksha Avgamam Dharmayam. There is a direct perception of the self. But the point is, it is Guhyam. Even the most intelligent person miss what Dharma is all about. Bhagavatam mentioned, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo. Defines Paradharma. Ek shlok mein pura Paradharma define kar diya. Ahetuki apratihata yayatma. Very easy to memorize this verse. One of the most easily memorizable verses. Because every lecture, Prabhupada quotes everywhere. But the point is to remain fixed on that ahetuki apratihata. To understand that, it requires a very special grace. A highly special grace is required. Only by the power of grace, somebody can understand. In case of Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj, what quality Bari Maharaj had? He had special grace. Anybody would be easily, and especially when the Guru is speaking, what more intelligent, what more appreciable, or what more welcoming could be in somebody's life? The person whom you follow, he is speaking, this is the path to be done. But what is special, intense grace is required on the part of Bali Maharaj to actually understand what bhakti is and what karma, vikarma, jnana, yoga, all other paths are all about. It's very difficult. That's why kavayo api atra mohita atte karma pravakshyami. So although Krishna says Raj Guhyam, it's a secret, it's a highly, when I would wonder that verse, what is the secret? Sab kuch to samne bol diya. All the verses are written, 600 or 700 verses. What is secret about it? But it's secret. Everybody tends to miss the goal. I was reading those verses in Second Canto. It was really something very interesting for me. I was reading some verses in Second Canto and I was writing notes and making notes from that verses. There's a section which comes on how a transcendentalist should live. What should be the lifestyle of a transcendentalist? So it mentions that a transcendentalist, it is that verse is, what is the need of a cot or a bed when you have the floor, earthly surface to lie down? What is the need of a pillow when you have arms? What is the need of clothes, you know, you just pick up or torn clothes? All these verses. The transcendentalist does not need to think beyond the minimum requirements. He is supposed to focus on the main goal. Prabhupada compares, every moment of time is more valuable than millions of gold coins. So I was reading those verses and then this long purport Prabhupada gives. And in one of the purports is the whole duties of renounced order are explained. And I was reading that, I was struggling to understand the whole flow of the whole chapter and how to fit in everything and how to make notes and understand. And taking help from other books also. And then I was thinking, oh my God, it's so difficult, so many people around, so much noise going on. I can't really do all this job, you know. Really, I need some comfortable place to sit down. Maybe air condition is on, so much hot. People are sitting around me, talking, making noise. Where do I go? So then I was searching for a seclusion place. Finally, I got a seclusion place. But the point is, sitting in the place of seclusion, then I read another line. And something came to, very funny, you know, it's like immediately Bhagavatam speaks to you. Of course, we cannot compare our standards to those standards. There it is mentioned, the transcendentalist does not need anything. And then he, that says, gives the example of Goswamis. And Prabhupada says, Goswamis, they did not demand anything from society, but their whole issue was how to contribute to the society. So he's telling renounced order, one of the major thing is you have to contribute, make some contribution to the society. You cannot just live as a beggar, as this concept comes, beggar. You have to contribute something to the society. And then Prabhupada writes something which is difficult to practice. He says, contribution, and for contribution, what did he demand? He was every day living under a different tree. And under a different tree, he was writing immense volumes of literature. And I said, wow, this is interesting. Living under a different tree, no place, no comfortable zone, places, so many people I'm sure must be around, but he's writing immense literatures. So amazing it was. So he said he's so focused, transcendentalist. So this point of minimum necessity. So he says, duty is to contribute without demanding anything. That's what beggar. So one cannot claim, as Prabhupada writes here, such a man of falsity should be killed. One who continues his professional bearing, he's supposed to be a dead while breathing. If he continues, possesses, collects money by begging, he should be killed. So therefore, this understanding of what bhakti is all about is a very, very fine understanding. And even the most intelligent tend to get bewildered. And as a result, we are wondering, Raj Guhyam, we think it is not Guhyam, it is so simple, we are practicing. But then you find it so difficult. Susukam word is missing. But it's a Raj Guhyam, and if somebody discovers the secret, then it becomes Susukam. It becomes very pleasurable. It becomes blissful. And what is the guarantee? Pratyakshavagamam. Khudi janlo. Just direct perception of the self. You perceive it. Direct perception. Give the example of Narad Muni. Simple, perform some service without any desire of karma, jnana, yoga, empiric speculation, fruitive endeavor, mystic. And all the knowledge. He writes, Narad Muni writes, the most confidential knowledge was revealed. All the gross and subtle coverings were gone. And then it was all blissful, susukham. There was no bounds to the bliss. He explains this. I'm just paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact words. So bhakti is a very simple and beautiful process. But the problem is, bound up in so many modes, it's hidden. Guhyam. Hidden. So it says, utsaha nishchaya dhairyat. So nishchayat, with great confidence, understanding the right path. Now how one will get confidence? That is another thing. How to get confidence that bhakti, the simple principles of bhakti, of surrender, of service, of Vaishnav Seva, are going to reveal everything without any need of karma, jnana and yoga. There are two ways to understand. Look in your life, look back in your life, and look in Shastras. I was giving class one time and somebody, I gave a few classes in a series, and many of the classes I was quoting my personal example. So somebody was telling, why don't you quote more Shastri example? I don't want to hear your personal example. It's too much. So okay, right. I am not so scholarly, whatever I could offer. But then I was contemplating when Narad Muni was told to speak to Vyasadev. And he spoke, he glorified devotional service, Tadvag, Visargo, and the whole thing. And then he says, just look at my personal life only. He gave his personal example. Vyasadev, compiling Bhagavatam, first thing, what does he give? His personal example. Right? Vyasadev, how I was so dissatisfied, how Narad Muni came in my life, everything. And then Shukadeva Goswami starts speaking in second canto. And a few verses, first he's answering Parikshit Maharaj, what should be heard, what should be chanted, what should be spoken. And after the whole guidance of first 5, 6, 7 verses, then he says, just look at my example. He gives his own example. That is one way to understand. Look in the past and see what attracted more mercy, what attracted more satisfaction and enjoyment. Yesterday I was teaching this advanced Gita course, and I think Radha Gopinath or someone has made a nice slideshow. I was looking at that, and there's a point on what is association. It talks about machita, madgata, prana, and last verse is tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So they put all the points of that verse in 6 points, you know. What association is all about? Machita, absorption, prana, devotion, then bodhayantis and kathayantas, enlightenment and inspiration. And then says tushyanti and ramanti cha, satisfaction and enjoyment. So association of bhakti is all about satisfaction and enjoyment. So we can look back in our past and see which experiences offered us satisfaction and enjoyment. Is it the experiences of bhakti, pure bhakti, which was offered without any mixture of fruitive endeavor, speculative tendency or desire of mystic siddhis? Yes. We can always look back and find out those movements which showered the most grace, satisfaction and enjoyment are the movements which were performed with the intention of pure bhakti. And look back into those movements which were performed with a fruitive endeavor or with a speculative idea or with a mystic intentions, desire of siddhis, led to dissatisfaction and what enjoyment? Complete frustration. So one learns, one gets confidence of choosing the right option based on the past experience. That's why over a period of time when a devotee undergoes realizations, he understands that, oh my God, I had made bhakti so complicated, but I realized bhakti is so simple. Bhakti is so simple, it's so sweet process. It doesn't take so much of endeavor like other processes. And the benefit is much more. Satisfaction and enjoyment, complete satisfaction. As the Sajjit says, insatiable nature of topics of Krishna. Kabhi thakte nahi, full enjoyment. Completely, all rasas at one shot, complete satisfaction. He is a reservoir, Akhila Rasa Amrit Murti. So, look in the past experience and we have to see that what is it which actually helped us to enjoy the principles of bhakti, the pure surrender. Like Bali Maharaj here very easily surrenders. Past experience. And second thing which helps us is see the experience of other people. Maybe in the Shastras, maybe your contemporaries. So we hear a lot, but at the same time the experience counts a lot. One looks back in the experience and will see what has attracted the most grace. What made things simple? Principles of bhakti, of pure surrender. Bali Maharaj immediately picked up the right choice. Amazing. Huh? Amazing, immediately. So therefore confidence in the right process is based on our intelligence. And therefore endeavor with intelligence. No sentimental speculation. Bhakti appears to be contemplated, complicated. Either it is imaginative ecstasy or sentiment. Then it will be complicated. If mixed with karma, jnana, yoga, it will be complicated. Bhakti in itself is the most sweetest process Krishna has offered. That's why all the sages are worshipping Kali Yuga, you know. Kale dosha nidhe rajan astihe ko kirtana deva Krishna se. It's so simple. Parikshit Maharaj said, Kali, no problem, you are here, I will tackle you. Very easy to tackle you. Just propagate the principles of bhakti. Kali cannot touch. Duplicity cannot touch. This verse talks about duplicity. So if one is engaged in these simple processes by hearing and by talking about it, by speaking about it, propagating about it, then this process is so simple that one gets the supreme grace. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvata. Tatvata. Chasmi. Who can know me in tatvata? Bhaktya. Somebody who understands the principle of this guhyam, this most confidential knowledge, which is so simple and so sweet and the highest, most sublime, as the word says, sublime. Prabhupada uses this word, sublime. He says, faith means, what is that? Unflinching trust in something sublime. That is faith. Something very sublime. Which unknowingly, without our knowledge, can take you to the highest realms of Krishna consciousness. This process of bhakti. Provided one understands. And how does one understand? We discussed. By the power of grace. One needs grace. Parikshit Maharaj is speaking this beautiful verse in first canto. He says, Aho vayam dhanyatama nripanam Anybody knows what is that? Mahattamanu grahaniya shila. Isn't it? That's the right. Rajyam kulam brahmana pada shauchat visrishtam durad. Right there? Batagarya karma. Aho vayam dhanya taman ripanam. He says, I can't imagine, I'm feeling so grateful. Aho, what a immense fortune has come upon me. Dhanya taman ripanam. Because actually, sages never come close to kingly order. Rajam kulam brahmana padashauchat. Great sages, they reject durat srishtam. Dur rakte hain. Rajkul ko. Kyu, why? They consider them to be engaged in condemnable activities, contaminated by the material energy. So sages are very careful not to intermingle very submissively, very closely, very with the materialistic men. Says, but here, not one, not two, not three, all the sages, Anyacha Devarishi, Brahmarishi, Rajarishi, Varya, and he adds the word Varya. First of all, not ordinary rishis, Devarishi, Brahmarishi, Rajarishi, and Varya, the chief of all dynasties, have come here. Isn't it so beautiful? And I never called them, I never said an invitation card that, okay, here I'm going to leave the body, come. Sometimes we are inviting some great souls, come, oh, there is no time, right? So busy, everybody is so busy. So note, it's so difficult to invite some senior person to have his association. People are hankering. This is, oh, vayam. Just imagine our fortune, dhanyatama, how glorious is our fortune. One of the reasons is, we have been trained to get favors of great souls. How? Coming in a great dynasty. Which dynasty of Maharaj Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Pandavas, who have always been blessed by the association of great souls. Just because coming in this dynasty, we have been blessed. Isn't it? Coming in this dynasty. So much association is just coming because I belong to this dynasty. Mahatamanu grahaniya shila. That connection is getting so much grace. Parikshit Maharaj also later on in the final verses of the first canto, he says, Api me Bhagavan Prita Pandu Suta something. He says, Priya. He says that one of the reasons I am getting all this mercy is because in the family lineage of Pandavas, who are Priya, very, very dear to Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, and Shukadeva Goswami has come here to give grace. Prabhupada writes, therefore, one should understand that when one takes up Krishna consciousness and needs to give up, even if one has to give up all the family connections to take to Krishna consciousness, family will be taken care by Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj left Maharaj Parikshit and walked out. He did not think that what will happen to Maharaj Parikshit. When he came to know Krishna has left, Yudhishthira Maharaj walked out. Arjuna walked out. Bhima walked out. Nakula, Sahadev, Draupadi also walked out. The mothers also walked out. Subhadra also. He is left alone. But Krishna made sure he gets the mercy. So he is feeling now at this point extremely fortunate. Just because of that connection with Pandavas, that mercy is made. So therefore this grace is something which helps someone to make the right choice. Parikshit had another choice. He could have gone and refuted the curse or somehow beg forgiveness or whatever. He took it as Krishna's plan and absolutely right choice. How to pick up the right choice? One needs grace. Grace is required. We are hungry for the grace. That is the only thing. At no cost we can afford to lose the grace which is going to help us to make the right choice. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction this beautiful line. One of the things which offers you confidence in bhakti is anybody in this process is dragged to success. Not just dragged, forcibly dragged to success. How will Krishna forcibly drag us to success? How to make sure Krishna will forcibly drag us to success? How to make the right choice? Not fall into these duplicitous calculations. Not fall into these traps of karma, vikarma, this understanding, what is right, dharma, adharma. Very difficult to understand, but pravakshyami, Krishna had the grace. So how to get that grace? So he says that grace came only because of association of Pandavas, because of that family lineage, I am getting the grace. That is only qualification I have. So similarly, for a practicing devotee, however, Bali Maharaj also had the connection with Prahlad, that grace is coming from the family lineage. So special grace is there. Now also he is very much guided. So this grace comes from the heart of devotees. This grace comes from the heart of those who are very, very dear to Krishna. Samoham sarva bhuteshu namah deshyosti na priya. Ye bhajanti to mam bhaktya maiteteshu chaabhiham. Whatever Krishna makes claims, I'm impartial, this and that, when it comes to devotee, he automatically melts there. He has to turn. He has to apply all the force. So anybody who is in connection with the devotee, forcibly dragged to success. Even if you want to run away from Krishna consciousness. But if devotees have great love for you, you will be dragged to success by the prayers, by the blessings. So one cannot afford to lose the grace. So here Shukracharya is teaching all this to Bali Maharaj. These principles of what is begging, when it should be done. The next verse, talks about bring under this woman under a control in joking, in marriage ceremony, earning one's livelihood. Falsity is never condemned. You see, in Gita, Arjuna was so. Prabhupada says this calculation by Arjuna of pros and cons prove that he is a virtuous person, his virtuous qualities. Krishna is proving to him. Many Shastra will also prove that this is appropriate. Here Shukracharya is, there Krishna himself is proving to him, and still Arjuna is so calculative. Make sure Krishna is not just telling to please my heart. Is it really the dharma? Amazing. Height of Arjuna's virtuous qualities that Krishna is telling, but still he is thinking, maybe is it just to please my heart? Sometimes lower level of practice is given to please your heart. He wants to make sure this is the highest. And only when he is convinced, then he picks up his Gandiva. And then he embarks on his battlefield. So this way, so this point is there of duplicity, of falsity, what is karma, what is vikarma. It's so bewildering. Most intelligent are also bewildered. So bhakti means endeavoring with intelligence. Intelligence which is based on confidence. Which is based on knowledge of our past experience. Knowledge of shastras. Knowledge of people around us. What gave them success? Principles of bhakti or karma, jnana, yoga or any other process. How to make sure one picks up the right choice? One needs to have the grace. One needs to have some investment to attract that grace. And that grace makes sure that one makes the right choice. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharashriyan Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.